Okay. Yes. I'm not exactly sure all this is going on, but okay. Oh, I gotta turn this program off because we're gonna hear it twice for a minute.
Echo, yeah, echo.
I've got the echoes going on because I've got Facebook open. Okay, almost. That one done. I got one more to do. All right, we can get rid of all this other.
Ready,
noise.
Fire, aim.
Ready, fire, aim. Yeah. Isn't it weird? You hear yourself, then you hear yourself again through that. All right, almost done. It's posting, and
okay.
Oh yeah, there it goes. Okay, go away. Oh dang it! Almost. Sorry, guys. This is my first time doing this. All right. Now we're done. Leave. Go away. Jesus, I can't get rid of all these tabs. And it won't close out here, Kale. I don't know why. What do I do to get rid of this thing?
Just close it.
It doesn't do that.
So you hit that X.
And we'll go in the... There it is. And go away. It's not working. Son of a... Okay, well, this sucked.
I don't want it to restart.
There it goes.
That's good.
Alright, all that's gone. Now, continue... Okay, I think we're broadcasting. I think we're on air. And we're sorry about that, but we're trying to get so you can do us live. You're welcome to call in on 941-255-3888 if you have questions or, you know, something you'd like us to answer. What we're going to try and do right now is we're going to talk about lures. Let's say... Now, theoretically, boys and girls, if you are listening, there's a little music in the background, and hopefully all that's coming through. And we're going to do a... Robert, are you on?
I believe so.
Okay. All right. Now, what we're going to be doing is we're going to talk about a couple lures because you got tarpon and cobia. And the tarpon and cobia are both out there, and they both do hit lures. But what we're going to do is find something that'll work for both of them. Now, this is Fish and Frank in the chair. I got Robert in the chair across from me and Captain Kale in the hot seat over there. So, hey, Captain. What's up, Kale?
Howdy.
Oh, yeah, you're loud. Okay.
Perfect.
Back you down a little bit. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Frank.
Okay. Yeah, Robert's always quiet. He's going to be all the way up. You're a little rambunctious today, Kale.
He's feeling saucy.
It's all the sugar.
It's all the sugar. What do you got, a Mountain Dew?
Yeah,
and
it's a Mountain Dew rush from being on land.
Yeah, it's been a bit weird. The last few days, the weather... Now, we did look. The weather's going to straighten out this weekend. It's supposed to be 6-7 miles an hour this weekend. And so Saturday and Sunday look like good days to be out there. Question before the gang is, which lures are going to work on tarpon and cobia? Robert?
Hand grenade.
Hand grenades. Kale?
I'm going to go with depth charges. I want to make sure I get the job done.
All right. Now, what to be more specific about this is I'd like to know something you put on the end of a fishing line so the hook is really, the fish is on a leash for a while and you get to play. Okay.
Oh.
You pull, he pulls, whoever pulls the hardest wins.
Okay.
All right. So rephrasing the question, which lure would you like on the end of your fishing line to play tug of war with a tarpon or a cobia? Which lure do you think would hit both?
I'd probably go with the hoagie.
You're going to go with the hoagie?
Yep.
All right.
And I'd probably go with the white one or the natural one.
All right. Now, right here I
Not
have
the one with the jig head.
We have two different styles in stock right now. Now, we have one that is a tandem. It's two hooks. It's rigged up more like a...
Mm-hmm.
It's got a front hook mounted and a back hook. Now, the thing I do like about that one in particular is the nose ring in the front.
Correct.
All right. So what makes you think this is going to be the one? You got black, you've got green, we've got... I think we got white. I'm not sure.
I'll either go with the black or the white. Either one is good for me. I'm going to like it because I can work it at multiple levels if I want. You know, I can either let it slowly sink, or if I happen to be in shallower water and I see a cobia cruising along, which is often the case, or they always swim closer to the surface when you usually see them, I can hold my rod tip up a little bit higher with less effort to keep it up closer to the surface in the strike zone of the cobia.
Okay, Kale, any thoughts on the hoagie? Now, we've got one with a big lead head on it, and then one with a double hook, kind of a tandem rig with no weight, no lead.
I do like that hoagie eel with the lead head because I'm probably going to start in shallow water.
Right. Why would you want that big heavy head? That's going to be an ounce and a half. I can see it in the Gulf. I can't understand. What's your thinking in shallow?
I can cover more ground. I can cast that thing further. We are probably using a little bit heavier rod and reel for cobia and tarpon, so you're going to lose a little bit of castability.
Hopefully this you're using a heavier rod and reel.
Hopefully you are. This guy's going to give me a little bit more castability, and it's going to... I can work it across the bottom and keep it pegged on the bottom more like an eel. How many times do you see eels swimming around on the surface? Not very. To me, that's more
all
of a...
All night long.
All night long. I'm fishing during the day.
You got one that's dam bramaged.
You know, I want it to be as natural as possible. I'm going to slink it around the bottom if I'm going to work an eel.
Okay.
Personally, if I'm going to pick a lure to go for both, I'm probably going to go with a crab.
All right, but hang on. Let's. I want to work this one out here for just a minute.
I want to know why Robert wanted to go with a hand grenade.
I don't know. Just easier.
Wow, you chickened out completely. Completely chickened out. I'll throw you out under the bus, though. We were talking about this before, and Robert said, well, the reason they call it tarpon is because women were already taken.
The name woman was already taken. Because they can be finicky. Because they can be finicky. Cobia and tarpon can be as finicky as all get good.
Where did we put that shovel?
When they're cooperating.
Keep digging, Robert. You're just burying yourself.
I don't care.
That's all right. Kale threw you there. I'm sorry. You're already under the bus. Okay. You're just getting the back tires roll over you. Now, when we're looking at this hoagie product, we also have rigged the way you like it. We carry the Berkley. And now, in the power bait, it not only has the softness and everything like the hoagie does, which is a soft plastic, like a jerkbait. Picture if you were bass fishing and then a standard fluke jerkbait, kind of like the old, what was the original one to come out in that?
Jerkbait?
Yeah, the original one.
Fluke.
Sluggo. The Sluggo was the first one to come out in that. And then everybody's copied it. We got them in DOA and we have them in a lot of different brands.
There's been 100 companies that have come and gone.
But, now, the hoagie is a bigger body.
Yes.
It's got a much bigger body. It's a little more soft. Yeah. Now, I would go to the power bait. I like the built-in scent. I like all the smell involved with it. And I like the shape better. To me, the hoagie is probably going to give you a better visual for the fish because it's a broader, heavier lure. And the power bait's thinner.
I was just going with the hoagie for the one fact of, for both fish. If I was just targeting cobia, I'm going with the power bait in a skinny minute.
So you don't think the power bait would do well on the cobia? You're going to go with the hoagie over the power bait because of the tarpon, rather?
Yeah, because it'll work with both, but it'll work better for the tarpon personally because it's got that more presentation of a ladyfish slash eel slash ballyhoo slash, you know, because of the broader body like you're talking about.
It's more ladyfish-ish.
Yes, and a cobia is still going to hit it because it is still kind of eelish at the same time.
Gotcha.
So if I wanted,
is anybody working out front?
I don't know. They might be putting together carts together.
Yeah. So anyway, Fish and Frank is not having that much of a month here. All right. So anyway, what I'm looking at with the hoagie bait is that bigger, thicker body. But mm-hmm. I want to try the Berkeley on the tarpon because tarpon have to eat eels.
Oh, I think they do.
I mean, they're just a big garbage can.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care what, you know.
I mean, I've seen snook come up and strike them out there at Placida at night under the lights.
The what?
Snook eat eels? An eel. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know snook eat them. There's no doubt in my mind about
that. So it
wouldn't
surprise me that a tarpon wouldn't, you know. I mean,
now,
you hear enough of them crash out there in the middle of the night sometimes out at Placida or even if you're out in the boat at night. I mean, you hear tarpon just crush stuff and... who knows what it is, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was an eel.
It could be eels, it could be crabs, it could be squid, it could be anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would think more of a crash on an eel, because an eel is going to be trickier trying to get away, where a crab is just kind of swimming along, and they don't have a big, great escape mechanism. Something targets them and going to go, okay.
Blow up on that like a hand grenade every time, because you go out there during the hill tide, and it's just cannonballs going off on the crabs.
That's true, I guess. All right, now... as far as the hoagie goes with the lead head, how do you think it compares against the Savage? Savage gear has a big eel, but it's got a big broad head and a huge tail on it, ribbon tail and a curly tail type.
If I want something that's 100% realistic looking and swimming realistic, the Savage is terrifying to watch it swim. I mean, it is absolutely dead on with the way it's swimming along. I mean, it reticulates through the water just amazingly.
That Savage gear and everything that Savage gear...
I don't
gear.
Like the treble hook at all, personally.
Yeah, I was going to say, the first thing I'm going to do is pull that stupid treble hook off of it. It's got a big hook out through the back. I'm going to get rid of the treble hook.
But that's great if a kingfish comes along or a cobia or anything like that, kind of a mixed variety. I think that's why they kind of did it like that. But for me personally, I'm single hooking.
If I'm fishing for cobia, treble hook's staying on.
Yeah.
Period. It's staying on.
Well, yeah, you eat the cobia anyway.
Yeah, they don't go back unless they're undersized or oversized.
There's oversized?
They're undersized. But other than that, no. Leave the treble hook on there. Tarpon, I'd much rather have it off, especially the way it's rigged with a hook on top and a hook on bottom. That's just asking to get something in your hand.
Yeah, it's got a big single hook on the top and a treble hook on the bottom. I'm sure that's to satisfy the Northeast. I mean, they big multiple hooks on it.
Well, and they do stripers all the time up there with the eels. I mean, eels are the number one seller up in the North for stripers. So I would guess it, because up there they show them hooking up bunker. They show them hooking up eels all the time with treble hooks. So it's what they know.
Right.
So it's probably just more of a familiar thing than anything else.
But the Savage gear eel is probably my favorite out of all of them. And I'm going to take these out and actually try trolling them out there in the deeper holes and maybe up the river for tarpon.
I don't know if you're going to make it up river for tarpon. I'm going to guess with the weight that thing is at 3 miles an hour or so, that thing's going to be down there a ways.
I want it down there a ways. I'm trolling rattle traps 8-9 feet down, so I want something to run deep in those holes in the river, in the deep holes.
I could see, put a rattle trap on one side, a 3/4 or 1 ounce rattle trap on one side, and put that Savage eel on the other side trolling. That might make a great combination, because nothing attracts fish better than a rattle trap.
Right.
I'd be using that kind of as the teaser, the attractant.
And like Robert said, the movement on these things is so lifelike. And I expect it. They're making these lures, and they're some of the most realistic lures that I've seen. I think if you take that blue crab and throw it in the tank, the males will try and mount it. It looks so realistic.
The one we don't have?
We don't have yet.
Yes, the one we don't have yet.
They're taking 3D scans of these fish and then making the molds off of those 3D scans.
I'm telling so very your realistic. Wife, you're talking about this. She was. She
That's
said,
fine.
Don't talk about the stuff we don't have yet.
Just come in, ask for that blue crab, bug Barbara. She'll get it for you.
Yeah. Remember, Barb? I had nothing to do with that. All right. Now, Robert, what do you think about? You think it would be better just to pull like a couple of eels, or you think adding the rattle trap to it would be a good idea?
Well, I'm personally not going to use a rattle trap as well as it works. I'm not a fan of treble hooks at all on
any. Well, you can put two single hooks on a rattle trap or one single hook. You don't have to leave the treble hooks on.
I'll go to a different lure.
Okay, why?
Because I got confidence in what I've got confidence in.
But that's what the question was. What do you think it'd be better to stay with the things, or you think it'd be better to add the rattle traps? And the only thing you said about rattle traps was no treble hook.
That I wouldn't be using a rattle trap.
No, you said because of the treble hooks.
Yes, primarily because of the treble hooks.
But if you put single hooks on, now VMC
I have not tried it with single hooks, so I don't know. I wouldn't have the confidence personally until I played with it for a while.
Okay, but VMC has the new single hooks that are made for lures. You can just simply swap out the treble for either a double brace of those or even a single.
I already have rattle traps waiting with the single hooks on them to see how they work.
Yeah.
That works.
So, is it something that you don't like about the rattle trap, or is it just...
No, I love a rattle trap. I mean, I caught my very first redfish on a rattle trap. I think they're great.
So...
I just have my confidence in my lures. It's like everyone has their kind of personal preference. I mean, we carry 10,000 lures out there.
Which lures would you go for? With pulling the Savage Eel?
For both tarpon and cobia?
Yeah, just to go trolling and hopefully either hook a tarpon or a cobia.
I'm going to troll a bait buster.
Bait buster.
I'll troll the bait buster and the eel.
So you're going to go with the Savage Eel and a bait buster?
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, or the hoagie. I mean, one of the imitations of those, I would try
that. I don't think I would troll a hoagie because there's no action to it.
There's no action to a bait buster either.
Yeah, no.
He's got a point.
The bait buster, it has the tail.
No,
it has the tail.
It's still a silhouette style bait, though.
Yeah, but
it's not really 100% based on action.
But it has a noisy tail on it.
Yeah,
now,
but
I would not pull a bait buster and a rattle trap together because the rattle trap would so overpower it they'd never notice the bait buster.
All right.
But a bait buster and that Savage Eel might be a great complement because the noise coming off of the Savage would be off that tail pulsating through the water and off the smaller vibration of the tail on the bait buster. That bait buster creates a lot of noise in the water with that tail going the way it does.
Well, you've got your visual and you've got your sound with the rattle trap and the eel. And I think that'll be a great combination until our rains start. And once the rains start and the water gets real murky, I'm probably going to drop the eel and stick with more vibration-orientated lures.
Well, what about a Bomber 16 with either one of them?
Perfect. See, that's what I would be using.
That's what I was asking you. I figured I'd just bring it up. I figured I would just bring it up. I couldn't get it out of you.
We got it eventually.
Fish on, Robert! Fish on! I'm not trying to throw you under the bus here. I know Kale screwed you all up with that before, but if...
We were talking about cobia and tarpon. I don't have enough confidence in it for cobia. For tarpon, I have great confidence in it, but for cobia,
I don't think I've ever caught a cobia on a long A.
I've never caught a cobia trolling. I've caught every cobia I have ever caught has been literally sight casting them.
Right.
Or by dumb luck with a dead bait or a live bait sitting out there. I have never personally ever caught a cobia trolling, so I have no personal experience or expertise in any way, shape, or form. I'm not even going to pretend to. You know, so if I'm going
but
for...
But this is a guess, because we're not fishing at the moment. We're just thinking about fishing.
Right. Well, hypothetically, if I'm going to go out there and troll, I'm trolling for tarpon.
Okay.
And I would be using the eel or the hoagie, and then I'm going to use the bomber, which I worked off of your original modification of removing treble hooks with a single hook and using that.
Now, what do you do?
I remove all the treble hooks off the 16 bomber.
Okay.
I leave my split rings on because it doesn't make a difference whether they're on there or not.
Makes a little rattle.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I'm using the assist hooks by Gamagatsu, which are what they use on like the butterfly jigs and the speed jigs for offshore for grouper and amberjack. I'm putting one single assist hook on the back of it, and that's it.
No, these hooks have a hook, and then there's a piece of like Dacron or something with a loop on it.
Or a wire.
Or a wire, and then you put, you, on the split ring, you attach the loop from that. You don't attach the hook directly. Use it off of the string or off of that small leader.
Sits back about 2.5 inches off the back of the bait. It swims wonderfully. It swims a little shallower because you've eliminated two other treble hooks off of it, but it doesn't change the action at all. If you put two of them on there, they do tangle up every now and then when you're casting. If you're just sitting in the water and trolling it, it's okay. But if you actually are trying to cast it, they'll sometimes catch in midair. So, and all the fish that I managed to catch after playing with it and experimenting with it, like you know, it finally just, I was just getting the same amount of fish, if not more, on the single hook as I was the double hook.
See, I've been using the bomber with those assist hooks on them. The one thing that I didn't like about them was they're a reverse circle.
Gotcha.
Your barb is on the outside,
right?
Not the inside. And when you're pulling on a fish, where is the hole in his mouth? It's to the outside.
Okay.
So that
it doesn't help barb the
fish
doesn't
on. Do anything. It has nothing to grab a hold of like it does if it's on the inside of the hook where it belongs.
So what you're saying is the better thing to do is replace it with a single VMC.
Yeah, I've put the VMCs on them. I haven't had a chance to get down to the bridge at night and see how they work, but I think they're going to work better than the assist hooks. I've been replacing my 17 MRs with them. I've been replacing my Storm Twitch sticks with the single hooks, and they all work great with the single hooks.
Okay, so basically, if we're going to go for tarpon, straight out tarpon fishing, a Savage Eel on one side, DOA Bait Buster on the other side, or in Robert's best case scenario, what I'm guessing is a DOA Bait Buster on one side and the 16 Bomber on the other side.
Correct.
Now, any particular color? I know you like the SICH. That's that bright green one.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other color you're big
that
into?
Ugly, stupid yellow, butter yellow one.
Oh, the banana.
With the red dots.
Yeah, banana with the red dots.
I like that one a lot. And then I like just the plain old, that like olive green back.
Oh, the SG, or the SOG.
SOG. Yeah,
olive green. Silver olive green.
Yep. I like that one a lot. Okay. And then in the Bait Buster, honestly, I stick with that green back with the pearl sides with that little red throat on it. That's one of my favorites. Root Beer is a good one. There's like four real basic colors with the DOA that are consistent. But every year there's one darn color that just crushes them all. 2 years ago, it was that stupid pink one. Whether it was the pink with the silver glitter in it or the bubblegum pink. Didn't matter as long as it was pink. Last year, it was that purple.
Yeah, the purple was the
big. That real dark, ugly, dark, dark purple. I mean, we couldn't keep those in stock. So right now, I mean, I'm always going to have the black back pearl side, green back pearl side, root beer. And then the fourth one is going to be like the green back with the glitter sides, or the black back with the glitter sides would be the fourth option until they pattern themselves on one particular color over another. But that takes sometimes a good 2 months of them being here before somebody figures out, hey, they want chartreuse.
Well, I can tell you, one of the major tarpon guides was in the other day and bought 12 pink.
Yeah.
So he may be into something. I mean, he bought 12 of them right out. You know, you any more of these? Went back and grabbed a bag, and he just bought the bag out. So
there you go. So that might be something they're patterning on again.
Yeah, you might be wanting to take pink. Now, DOA Bait Buster is not a traditional trolling lure. This is more of a cast. Mm-hmm. And
but it's made to troll.
It's made to troll.
And we cast it.
And we cast it. So I don't know which way you'd go with that. But this primarily is a tarpon lure. I think a cobia should eat the heck out of it. Why wouldn't they?
I've caught snook and redfish on it.
I'm the last one to ask about bait busters. I hate them. I don't like them. I don't like using them. They're catfish magnets for me.
Really?
And I despise them.
You catch catfish on DOA bait busters?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. One after another.
Wow.
There's got to be a synonym for Captain Kale, catfish, and bait busters.
It's just the bait busters.
Okay. All right. I mean, I just feel, you know, kind of...
See, and everyone has their lure that's their nemesis.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right.
I mean, personally, artificial shrimp, I have a hard time catching any fish on an artificial shrimp. I don't care.
I haven't done well with an artificial shrimp since the original shrimp. My brain is... between the IRS audits and the state coming down on me for other things and all
that. You're talking about the salty dog tail?
Salty dog, yeah.
Yeah, you know. See, I could catch fish on those. But, I mean, I can go
that
out...
That was the last shrimp imitation
even,
I ever did well with.
Even with trout. Even with trout. I mean, you can catch them with a bottle cap and a hook, for crying out loud. I mean, how many shows did we go to? Oh, you're from Florida? That catches trout. Oh, it catches trout. Buy this. You know, and I go out there and throw a shrimp. I can catch them under a popping cork, but if I throw a shrimp standing next to anybody else, they're going to catch 5 to my 1. I just, I have a hard time. I don't like it.
So I have no problem with artificial shrimp, as long as they're not gulp. Gulp is in the same slot in my tackle box as the bait buster. That's in the catfish
now,
box.
The first time he takes me out fishing is with gulp.
Yeah.
He says, oh, you're going to catch all the redfish, you know, with gulp.
Well, what were they?
They were crabs.
Gulp crabs. I can kill the redfish on those. I can sit there and throw underneath a tree and pull redfish out all day long on the gulp crab. Put on a gulp shrimp, I'm pulling catfish out from that hole the rest of the day.
Okay.
And I've done it.
That's funny.
That's the sad part.
I get it. I get it. Okay. All right. So we're going to throw a lure at a tarpon, I think Robert's going to go with bait buster. And
I'm going to go with a bait buster, but I mean, and another. You know, we kept talking about trolling too, but another aspect is like we're talking about trying to catch both. And usually while you're out there generally targeting tarpon, you're either drifting, anchored, or using your trolling motor.
Right.
You know, and if I want to get a shot at a cobia, I'm going to probably put a bait buster out the back of the boat. And then for the possibility of a cobia, I'm going to put a rod in the rod holder right off the transom of the boat with a storm swim bait. Or even maybe try the weighted eel under a bobber. 3 or 4 feet under a bobber right on the back of the boat. Because cobia always, while you're out there drifting around, swim up to you, or while you're anchored. It's very common for them to come up to you. They either follow your chum slick while you're shark fishing and come right up to your boat and sit underneath it, or they're just looking for the shade and swim right up and sit underneath your boat, and a lot of times you don't see them. I mean, you taught me that. Always when you're out shark fishing or cobia fishing,
we were going to mess with that today with the hitchhiker and the swim bait.
Yeah,
we were going to do that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm going to get you guys started. I'm going to go over and grab one, and we're going to try this. It's going to take me just a minute. So you guys have a little conversation here.
I'll take what you've taught me about cobia swimming up and always having, whether you're shark fishing, tarpon fishing, or cobia fishing, always having one off the back of the boat. And I'm going to put probably one of those items under a bobber, just literally right off the transom at about 3 or 4 feet.
I don't think that's a bad idea. And I might even have one of the unweighted eels rig too.
Oh yeah,
to drift from the front of the boat if they are underneath there and not taking that one in the rear.
Right. but I'm out. Wow, that was good.
You could let it slide.
You couldn't keep a straight face for nothing on that one.
but
I'm not. I mean, also, I'm always going to have a pole rigged for cobia. You know, I've always got one that's just sitting there in the rod holder with, you know, a bucktail with a worm on it or an eel or something. You know, I've always got something just sitting there in the rod holder for that just in case factor.
And it's not a bad plan. I have usually a chunk of ladyfish that I've stomped on once or twice sitting in a bucket of water waiting in case one comes up with a shark. I haven't had much luck with artificial lures doing that when one comes up behind a shark. Usually when they come up behind a shark, they've been following that shark for a while. And they're expecting scraps.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these lures replicate whole fish.
Right.
And that's not what that cobia is looking for. He's looking for those free, easy scraps coming from the front of the shark.
And I agree with that sometimes, but still, you know, cobia are still garbage disposals at times.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, there's been times out there where they don't want anything big. They want something small.
Yeah.
You know, or vice versa. All
right. You know,
I've caught them on shrimp. I've caught them on white bait. I've had them chase, try to eat literally 8-pound jacks as you're fighting them and reeling them up. You know, it's crazy what a cobia won't try to eat.
They've got big mouths.
They got big stomachs.
That too.
You know? All right. Now, what we've got here, as I stepped away for a minute to go get, is a storm swim bait. And putting these under floats is becoming more and more and more popular. And I've got a hitchhiker, which is a little spring device. It looks like a spring.
It's a little screw-in with an eyelet on the end of it. For usually a lot of guys used to put them on the back of spinner baits to put a teaser on their bass lures, or you could put it on a jerk bait or something. But you can also rig up a lot of your soft plastics and give them a little bit more free mobility by having just a single hook off the front of the nose, kind of like the original. That's pretty bad.
All right. One of the problems with a swim bait is when you hang it under a float, you cannot get it to hang straight. The hook is so far forward to give it its swimming ability. Can you see it there, Kyle?
Yeah, if you don't have any big current enough to keep that bait upright, it's going to sit.
Or if you're trolling, it hangs downwards.
It's almost like a 45 or...
Yeah,
it's vertical, not quite.
Yeah,
it doesn't look natural.
It doesn't. It just looks ridiculous hanging into it. But what we did was took the.
That's awesome.
Robert and I were talking in his driveway last night. I was dropping him off, and it's a hitchhiker. And what it is it's made to attach soft plastics to hooks. And what I did was go back about an inch from the eyelet where you tie on the swim bait. And screwed the hitchhiker in, and then I just looped the line through it, and it makes the baits hang perfectly exactly the way it's supposed to if you want to put it under a bobber.
Keeps it hanging horizontal.
Yeah, it really looks good.
It's really good.
It's not going to interfere
with it. And
it's
stupid simple.
Yeah.
Once again, simple.
Yeah, just keep it simple, stupid. In this case...
We talked about that yesterday morning, too. That's the funny part.
It's...
Tarpon jigs.
That's a tarpon jig right there. Boy, you could use that in the pass. You could use it anywhere. I mean, legal for the pass, and it's simple. It's easy. I think I just came up with something brandy new here again, folks. And it looks like it's going to work.
That's pretty impressive. I like it.
Yeah, I actually just impressed myself. And this we came up sitting in, it hit me last night in Robert's driveway. So we'll have that on display.
That would be really cool. I mean, we've got a big swim bait talking about tarpon and cobia, but could you imagine putting those underneath a bobber when you're drifting the flats with a curl tail, something smaller?
Yeah, I think it could work on anything that you want to put under a float doesn't hang right.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, like, let's say you're using one of your favorite Rockport Rattler jig heads or whatever, but you want to put it under a bobber. You know, it's always going to sit funny. Now you could use that and still get it to sit horizontal.
Yeah, it was just a...
You could use it on a curl tail, a jerk bait,
shrimp. I'm going to post a picture of this. You guys can see what we're talking about if you're, you know, listening on Facebook or whatever, stop in the store. And we'll see what happens with that. So hopefully we now know how to do radio fishing live. And the show will be put up just like we always did on our Radio Fishing page of Fishing Franks.
We're doing both live and live-ish.
Live-ish. If you're out there listening and you wouldn't mind, call 941-255-3888. That's 941-255-3888. I'd like to test the phone lines. I doubt if anybody's listening. So with nobody listening, it's probably hard for anybody to call in. But
it'll take a little bit for them to figure out, and as long as we can get this on a regular schedule, it'll be a lot easier.
Yeah, once we get it down so we're doing it at the same time every week. So anyway, boys and girls, we've been talking about what lures we'd like to throw for which fish. It boils down to basically, if we're going after cobia and tarpon, DOA bait busters and eels, or DOA bait busters and bombers. For cobia and tarpon, the eels, eel-ish, maybe with a DOA bait buster. For tarpon, it's going to be a bait buster and a long A bomber.
Yeah.
And me and Kale both are on the rattle trap thing.
Yeah. No, and I know it works. I mean, you guys smoked them last year, but I just haven't tried it.
All right. So, anyway, what do we have? We're actually not going to be able to get to that. We'll get to those on another one. yeah, here I am.
Yeah, you don't do that very often.
I'm just lost. I got to tell you, with all this stuff going on, and then I had to come up with this idea about doing live broadcasts. It's like, no, there's not enough on my plate. Let's pile on another spoonful of broccoli here, folks.
You're never content unless you have like 30 irons in the fire.
Yeah, well, I got to keep my mind off all the weird, kind of crazy, bad stuff happening to me.
You can't work without pressure.
I know.
You can't.
I know.
I got to have something to do. You know. I just built two new pages for the website. The Boca Grande page will be up here in a little while. I did do a Turtle Bay page, and I'm going to be working on a few other ones. If you do have some place you've heard about but don't really know or want to know more about that place, send me an email, and I'll try and build a page about it. I'm going to be working on the mic cutoff. I'm going to be working on several of the other spots. We're going to try and get the whole place-by-place fishing report done and finished. Boca Grande Pass is a very challenging one to do. That's going to be a tough page to put up.
Yeah.
But
a lot of info there.
Yeah, and I'm...
And not just for tarpon. There's a lot of fish to catch out there.
A lot of info for 1 square mile.
Yeah, and I've got some really cool old pictures and new pictures of the phosphate dock, so I'm going to be having all that on there. Anything else we need to talk about today, guys?
Nope.
Kale?
No, I think we've covered the eels.
All right. Yeah, we kind of covered... We'd have no idea what we covered. Anyway, as they say... This is Fishing Frank in the chair. That is Captain Kale in the chair across from me. He does charters on his boat, or you can hire him to go on your boat, show you where to go and what to do and how to do it. And if you really want to know where to go, Robert in the chair across from me. Our walking encyclopedia of thrown under the bus knowledge. So, anyway, say goodbye, Kale.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
All right, this is Fishing Frank. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye-bye.